through the way that Joseph's environment actually wasn't the best environment. It was perfect for him, but because of everything else that was going on, that limited his ability to thrive. And so we looked at his environment to thrive. Then last week we looked at calling, and Joseph was called. He had dreams, and you can see on our blackboards, we were looking at the dreams and the dreams that God has given us. And if you weren't here, but you want to have a little look and you want to think, actually, what was the dream? What dream has God given me? Feel free. We've got some blank ones. You can come and add to that as well. But we're going to continue on. And as we know in the story, Joseph was around his brothers. His brothers didn't particularly like him. And so things turned bad. And we're going to find out first from the video and then from Jean, who's going to read it to us, of what happened to Joseph through the medium of song.
Their repulsive crime.
That's us grabbing now, doing it while we got the time.
Hi, guys. Hey.
This they did and made the most of it. Saw his coat and flung him in a pit.
Let us leave him here all alone, and he's bound to die.
When some Ishmaelites, a hairy crew, came riding by. In a flash, the brothers changed their plan.
We need cash, let's sell him if we can.
Oh, poor Joseph, what you gonna do? Things look bad for you, hey, what you gonna do? Oh, poor Joseph, what you gonna do? Things look bad for you, hey, what you gonna do?
Deal was done.
Hey.
Silver coins for Jacob's favorite son. Then the Ishmaelites galloped off with a slave in tow. Off to Egypt, where Joseph was not keen to go. It wouldn't be a picnic, he could tell.
And I don't speak Egyptian very well.
Joseph's brothers tore his precious multicolored coat. Ripped it up, they next attacked a parting goat. Soon the wretched creature was no more. They dipped his coat in blood and guts and gore. Oh, now, brothers, how low can you stoop? You make a sordid group, hey, how low can you stoop? Poor Joseph, sold to be a slave. Situation's grave, hey.
Fantastic. There we go. Jean, I'm going to tighten this up to make sure it doesn't fall on you.
Don't make it too high. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to read the same story, and it's in Genesis 37. Verses 12 to 36. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to him, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornamented robe back to his father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "in mourning will I go down to the grave to my son." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
That was wonderful. Thanks, Jean. Who was here last week? Okay, a few of us. We're going to start with a little bit of a quiz then, quick recap. Last autumn, we spent quite a lot of time in Genesis down in Kids Church, and we got really good at knowing that dynasty of Genesis. So let's do a quick recap now and see if we can all remember. So our first sort of father of Israel we refer to is Abraham. And Abraham married Sarah, and their children were called Isaac and Ishmael, very good. And Isaac married Rebecca. Janet's on this, by the way. married Rebecca. And their children were called Esau and Jacob. And Jacob marries Leah and Rachel. And thus we end up here. Joseph is one of Jacob's 12 sons and at least one daughter that we know of, probably more. And it really matters. It really matters that Joseph is part of that family, because these significant saints who bring about the nation of Israel and are the basis of our community now had some really dark things going on in their stories. There are some unpleasant bits of every single one of those tales. And in Joseph's story today, we get to one of the really horrid bits. Regardless of how many songs and costumes and frankly hilarious snake puppets we dress up this scripture with, it's a really dark bit of the story. There is no way to cover up the fact that Joseph's brothers, his flesh and blood, who'd been raised alongside him, plotted to kill him and then compromised by selling him into slavery. But what's really hard to answer, I think we probably all agree that's terrible. Feel free to come back at me if we don't think that's terrible, but we probably all agree that that's not a great way to behave. But it's really hard to put your finger on what the sin is there. What are the brothers guilty of in that passage? And so we're actually going to just take 1 minute, maybe even less than, turn to the people around you and see if you can come up with a nice, concise, quick answer. What is it that those brothers are guilty of when they sell Joseph into slavery? Go. Okay, wonderful. Should we bring it back in? What kind of answers do we have? Jealousy. Jealousy's a great one. Actually, I think maybe jealousy's probably the best answer. Can I come back to it? Can we see if there are anything else around? And then we'll come back to jealousy. Betrayal. Oh, should I bring the microphone to you?
Lying.
Lying, yeah, brilliant. What else? Abuse, yeah, there are lots of words we can bring out here, aren't there? And that's because, as we learned when we were learning about sin and salvation earlier this year, and actually as Andrew taught us, sin is not just about what we do. We think our sin is what we actively put out into the world, but it's so much more about the state of what's in our hearts. And that's why we can list so many things there. I think we're right that maybe jealousy comes top of that. We know God's not a fan of being jealous. He tells us that in scripture. But there are so many different things at work there because the problem that the brothers are encountering is the state of what's inside their heart. We talked a few months ago about behavior management. I feel like I'm doing this bad thing, which I'm going to label as sin. And so now I'm going to decide to stop doing the bad thing, and suddenly I am free from sin. And it doesn't work. It manages our behavior, but it does not transform the reality of what is in our hearts. It's less than the perfect calling that God has offered to us. It's a bit like Neil and I have been talking about lamps while we've been planning this service. And we talk about jealousy as a green color, don't we? If I put a green light bulb in that lamp, what color would come out of the light? Green. It's got a white shade on it. The white shade makes no difference. Trying to cover up what we present makes no difference because the source on the inside is the thing that's not quite right. And that's why when Judah says, no, let's not kill him. He's our brother. Let's just sell him to slaves instead. Doesn't really do it. He's covering up behavior. When they bring the coat to Jacob and say, oh, we're so brokenhearted, we think our brother's dead. It doesn't make any change to what's happened because the state of the brothers' hearts has remained the same. Where this takes place, Jacob says to Joseph, go and check on your brothers, see if all's well with them. It sounds like he's gone to the field down the road, doesn't it? It's actually 84 kilometers away. And then he meets a shepherd. He says, oh, no, your brothers aren't here. They've gone over there. That was another 20 kilometers away. So Joseph probably walks for about 5 days to find his brothers. Now, right at the start of the scripture, you might remember from last week and the week before, back in verse 2, and please don't quote me, but they mention something about Joseph, and the brothers don't comment very nicely. They're clearly not big fans of their brothers, and that's how they behave even in front of their father. So now imagine how free the brothers feel to behave appallingly, knowing that they're 5 days away from home. We talked about the Garden of Eden when we were teaching the series on sin and salvation. And Andrew said so beautifully, our sin does not create distance from God. It's our distance from God which allows sin to percolate within us. And whilst it's not a perfect metaphor, I'd like to think that's what's happened here as well. The brothers are so far from their father. They're so far from his realm of influence that they cannot see Joseph as he sees them anymore. And it means that their ill feelings take over and their behavior gets out of hand really, really quickly. And so actually, that's where we want to come into land today, because our God does not care for distance from us. Regardless of how we feel or how we behave, your Heavenly Father longs to have you in his presence. Longs for us to draw near to him. To say, do you know what? I feel really horrid today. I'm really jealous of that person. And I'm not going to try and cover it up. I'm going to come to my Father and say, what is this? Why is this? Jesus, thank you that you live within me. By your grace will you enter in and transform what's in my heart. Because the more time we spend listening to our Father's voice, the more it flows out of us. If we continue to hear God being loving and kind and generous in every part of our lives, then we will find ourselves unable to help being loving and kind and generous to the people around us. And so, as we lead into communion today, I want to pose a question to all of you. And it's the question that Jacob offers to Joseph. He says, go and see if all is well with your brothers. And today we're going to say, Jesus, come on in and see if all is well with me. Psalm 139, which our fearfully and wonderfully made memory verse comes from, says, search me, God, and know my heart. It's a brave prayer to pray. It's a really brave prayer to say, God, come on in and see all the bad things and all the things I don't like about myself. Come on in, have a look at them and help me to build on them and make them something that better resembles you. You are God's masterpiece. You are made in his image and he has prepared good works for you to do. He desperately wants you to thrive. In all things, God wants you to prosper and to thrive. And that means he doesn't want you to sit there feeling guilty or hiding things. He wants to say, my child, come to me. Let's look at this problem. Let's renew it. I want you to walk looking more like Jesus this time tomorrow. So we're going to play a song. I'll pray for us, Anna. And we're just quietly going to take time to ask God, is all well with me? Let him highlight things to you. And then we're going to approach the communion table. And as we approach him, we'll come with confession of the things we may have found within ourselves. But much more than that, we come with thanksgiving because Christ has died that we might live. We are free to grow as healthy and happy children of the King. So can we maybe start playing the song, maybe tech team, and I'll pray for us and we'll all just take some time.